Maisley by Johannes Byrie. Chapter 1. In Nola. For nearly 20 years, the fine old castle had stood silent and deserted on the mountainside. In its neighborhood, not a sound could be heard except the twittering of the birds and the soughing of the old pine trees. On bright summer evenings, the swallows whizzed as before about the corner gables, but no more merry eyes looked down from the balconies to the green meadows and richly laden apple-trees in the valley. But just now two merry eyes were searchingly raised to the castle from the meadow below, as if they might discover something extraordinary behind the fast-closed shutters. "Mia, come quick!" the young spy exclaimed excitedly. "Look! Now it's opening!" Mia, who was sitting on the bench under the large apple-tree, with a book, put aside the volume and came running. "Look, look, now it's moving," her brother continued with growing suspense. "It's the arm of a black coat. Wait, soon the whole shutter will be opened." At this moment a black object lifted itself and soared up to the tower. "It was only a bird, a large black bird," said the disappointed Mia. "You have called me at least 20 times already. Every time you think that the shutters will open, and they never do. You can call as often as you please from now on. I shall certainly not come again." "I know they will open some day," the boy asserted firmly. "Only we can't tell just when, but it might be any time. If only stiff old Trius would answer the questions we ask him. But he knows everything that is going on up there. But the old crosspatch never says a word when one comes near him to talk. All he does is come along with his big stick. He naturally doesn't want anybody to know what is happening up there, but everybody in school knows that a ghost wanders about and sighs through the pine trees. Mother has said more than once that nothing is going on there at all. She doesn't want you to talk about the ghosts with the school children, and she has asked you not to try to find out what they know about it. You know, too, that Mother wants you to call the castle watchman Mr. Trius, not just Trius. Oh, yes, I'll call him Mr. Trius, but I'll make up such a song about him that everybody will know who it is about," Kurt said threateningly. "How can he help it when there is no ghost in Wildenstein about which he could tell you tales?" Mia remarked. "Oh, he has enough to tell," Kurt eagerly continued. "Many wonderful things must have happened in a castle that is 1,000 years old. He knows them all and could tell us, but his only answer to every question is a beating. You know, Mia, that I do not believe in ghosts or spirits, but it is so exciting to imagine that an old, old baron of Wallerstätten might wander around the battlements in his armor. I love to imagine him standing under the old pine trees with wild eyes and threatening gestures. I love to think of fighting him or telling him that I am not afraid." "Oh, yes, I am sure you would run away if the armored knight with his wild eyes should come near," said Mia. "It is never hard to be brave when one is as far away from danger as you are now." "Oh-ho! So you think I would be afraid of a ghost?" Kurt exclaimed, laughing. "I am sure that the ghost would rather run away from me if I shouted at him very loudly. I shall make a song about him soon, and then we'll go up and sing it for him. All my school friends want to go with me, Max, Hans, and Clevi, his sister. You must come too, Mia, and then you'll see how the ghost will sneak away as soon as we scream at him and sing awfully loud."
"But, Kurt, how can a ghost which doesn't exist sneak away?" Mia exclaimed. "With all your wild ideas about fighting, you seem to really believe that there is a ghost in Wildenstein."
"You must understand, Mia, that this is only to prove that there is none," Kurt eagerly went on. "A real ghost could rush towards us, mad with rage, if we challenged him that way. You will see what happens. It will be a great triumph for me to prove to all the school and the village people that there is no restless ghost who wanders around Wildenstein."
"No, I shan't see it, because I won't come. Mother does not want us to have anything to do with this story. You know that, Kurt. Oh, here comes Elvira. I must speak to her."
With these words, Mia suddenly flew down the mountainside. A girl of her own age was slowly coming up the incline. It was hard to tell if this measured walk was natural to her or was necessary to preserve the beautiful red and blue flowers on her little hat, which were not able to stand much commotion. It was clearly evident, however, that the approaching girl had no intention of changing her pace.